Good morning, I'm Ari Shapiro. Kids love theme restaurants. Chuck E. Cheese, Rainforest Cafe, and in a Beirut suburb, there's a new one, Buns and Guns. They serve the Kalashnikov sandwich and the terrorist meal. Owner Ali Hamoud said, "I could have put toys in place of the sandbags and teddy bears instead of guns, but it was just an idea." One 15-year-old customer said he first thought it was a weapon shop, and after seeing the menu, he still did. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Here's something that might have helped trace the cause of those recent cases of salmonella: labels. Currently, there is no federal law that requires supermarkets to label where fresh produce is grown. The FDA now says that's complicating its investigation. That will change in September when a labeling law goes into effect that requires the country of origin to be indicated on fresh produce and certain meats. To find out what happens now without the label, Zoe Corneli of member station KALW in San Francisco followed the trail of some shiitake mushrooms.
After 2 to 3 weeks on a cargo ship from China, many imported shiitakes wind up here at the San Francisco wholesale produce market.
Give me 2 red chili and 1 Japanese eggplant.
Vendors are busy selling all kinds of fresh fruits and vegetables to grocery stores and restaurants. Bill McKinney works for Birdie Produce. He's in charge of mushrooms.
I have shiitakes here from local companies, which do have Chinese and local, and some companies only have Chinese. They don't mark the box local, and they don't mark it from import.
They don't have to. Because there's no labeling law, local distributors can take boxes labeled product of China and rebox them under their own brand name. To find out what local stores were actually selling, we brought McKinney shiitakes from 5 supermarkets, no labels.
This one's Chinese. Chinese. This is a local grown.
Of the 5, McKinney said 3 were selling shiitakes from China.
When you pick up a Chinese and you look at it, a Chinese one is dried out, and it always looks that way, dried out. That's why we pick up a local, it's got a darker look, got a wet look, and it's meaty looking.
But McKinney says those distinctions may be lost on the average consumer.
Pretty much, I'm in a lot of supermarkets. I don't see where it says it's from China or it's from USA. It's pretty much shiitake, and the price, it's always high price. Whether it's China or local, you will pay the same price in the supermarket.
You'll pay the same price. Some grocery stores may pay a third as much for the Chinese. One of the places McKinney identified as selling Chinese shiitakes is this locally owned supermarket south of San Francisco. The produce aisle is stocked with all the usual lettuces, fresh herbs, fruits, and shiitakes in bulk. Co-owner John Garcia was surprised when we asked if he ever sells Chinese shiitakes. He believed his supply was all domestically grown. And besides, he wasn't even aware there's a difference.
There's definitely not anyone on our staff that knows that. If they knew, I would know.
Garcia was curious, so he went to his back office to look more closely at records from his supplier.
I have an invoice that says that I got some shiitake jumbos that were imported. It doesn't say from where.
Do you have a problem with that as a retailer?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to know where it's coming from, because I never knew this was an issue.
Even if Garcia did know where his mushrooms were coming from, he could choose not to post that information for his customers. That goes for other types of produce, too. Ed Rose was out shopping for vegetables at a San Francisco market recently.
If I saw it was from China, I probably wouldn't buy it, but I just think we need to have the labeling to make the choice, and then we'll make our own decisions.
The confusion over food labeling goes back to a 1930 tariff act that introduced labeling for imported goods. Shortly after its passage, restrictions were relaxed for certain products, including fresh fruits and vegetables. Barry Krissoff is an economist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He says foreign produce wasn't on people's minds back then.
In the 1930s, we were much more of a local trader. We bought our fruits and vegetables from local vendors or from regional vendors. So as time changed, there was more of an interest for informing the consumer about those global products.
This fall, the new law will update that 1930 act. Everything from shiitake mushrooms to steak and even tomatoes will be labeled by the country they came from. For NPR News, I'm Zoe Corneli in San Francisco.
And if you think you can tell the difference between domestic and foreign mushrooms, visit NPR.org and find out for sure.
And France recently reported that childhood obesity rates are leveling off after rising for 2 decades. It's the first European country to show that kind of a shift. The French findings come from two studies of school-age children, and the report suggests that healthier school lunch programs and a ban on vending machines in schools could be paying off. Eleanor Beardsley visited one French high school, a public school, with a dedicated professional chef.
Dominique Valadier starts his day at 5:30 a.m., just as the fish market opens in the southern French provincial town of Salon-de-Provence. Today, Valadier picks up 20 pounds of fresh live mussels before heading off to the L'Empérie High School, where he is the cook. After their morning greeting and a few laughs, Valadier and his staff of four get going on the day's meal for about 800 students. On the menu today, mussels in cream sauce over rice with leeks and stuffed turkey thighs accompanied by a squash au gratin casserole. Nothing here is frozen or pre-prepared, says Valadier, hoisting a sack of the algae-covered mussels.
Voilà. Alors là, on a une étiquette.
Voila! This sticker here shows where these mussels came from and when they were harvested. This guarantees their freshness.
Eyes twinkling and knives flashing, Valadier opens up the plump turkey thighs, cutting out the bones. He says you should be able to hear good cooking. The flattened turkey fillets are wrapped around a stuffing of ground-up parsley, garlic, cheese, and smoked pork shoulder. The loaves are then tied with twine and baked for 3 hours at low temperatures to keep in the juices and flavor. When sliced, they will serve hundreds of students, 10 times the number that could have been fed on the plain turkey thighs. Preparation and proximity are the keys to high-quality meals at lower prices, says Valadier.
On essaye de faire en sorte...
We try to get our base products, meat, fish, vegetables, within a 30-mile radius because there are fewer intermediaries and we can negotiate price and quality with the producer. These turkeys were raised and slaughtered just near here. If I have a problem, I'll ask the producer to come see me and I can guarantee you things will be a lot better the next time.
All around the school kitchen, pots and pans are cooking and simmering away. Gallons of bechamel sauce bubble for the squash casserole. A vat of chickpeas boils for homemade hummus. It's hard to believe this is a school cafeteria and not a 3-star restaurant. Perhaps what's most impressive about Valadier's meals is that they cost students only $3 a day, less than the typical fast food fare served at many French high schools. Another way Valadier saves money is by getting maximum use out of every ingredient. He never throws anything away. In one corner of the kitchen, he is boiling down the fish heads, flesh, and bones from yesterday's salmon to make a tasty bouillon for today's mussels. As lunch hour begins and the students file in, Valadier joyfully serves them while answering questions about the meal. He reaches across the counter with a forkful of the squash au gratin to give 17-year-old Valentine Biemans a taste. Biemans says she and her friends have all but quit eating lunch at McDonald's and have discovered a lot of new dishes.
It's all the time different food, and it's very, very good. People are really happy because it's really hard now to eat well and cheap.
Valadier left the world of glamorous Riviera restaurants for something more meaningful. He's clearly found his calling here. Danielle Vieux teaches drama and English at the high school.
We are very, very lucky because it's a real project. It's not just doing the cooking. It's a whole concept of educating and doing something good and taking time and enjoying it. And it's artistic at the same time.
Valadier says investing in the students' well-being is also an act of citizenship. If young people learn to eat well early on, he says, it will cost the country's healthcare system a lot less in the future. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Salon de Provence.
And one of the world's biggest chocolate makers, Mars, plans to sequence the genome of the tree that produces the raw ingredient for chocolate. NPR's Joanne Silberner has more.
Chocolate manufacturers depend for the raw materials on 6.5 million subsistence farmers in Africa and the Americas. And these farmers' cacao plants are increasingly threatened by diseases, pests, and now climate change. For example, a fungus has nearly destroyed the cocoa industry in Brazil. Breeding varieties that can withstand problems like this has been mostly hit or miss. Knowing the full genetic makeup of cacao will transform the process, says Howard Yana Shapiro. He's chief of plant sciences for Mars.
The cocoa genome sequence information will enable cocoa breeders to much more efficiently introduce desired traits and to produce entirely new lines of cocoa plants, leading to a vast number of farmer benefits.
Mars is spending more than $10 million on the project in collaboration with the USDA and IBM. They'll make the genetic sequence available to anyone, including Hershey's, says Shapiro.
This action generates the best opportunity, the best chance for new lines of cocoa to be bred that answer the problems that we have today.
And breeders will also be able to focus on the genes that give fine cocoa its special flavor. Joanne Solberner, NPR News.